Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to NFL Factoid Tuesday. We do it every Tuesday at 6:30. The Seahawks have only given up 3 sacks in their first 3 weeks. It's the first time since 1997 they've allowed 3 or fewer sacks in their first 3 games, according to Hawk Blogger.
Maybe. Oh, Hawk Blogger?
Yeah.
Hawk Blogger. Oh, yeah, we've had him on the show. That offensive line is playing solid. It didn't get off to a great start against San Francisco the last 2 weeks. It has been much better. Although I can't really take anything out of any team who plays New Orleans, because New Orleans is just awful.
How about this one? This is OptiStats. Players in the Super Bowl era to have multiple touchdown catches and a return touchdown through their first 3 career games, or through 3 career games. Tim Brown in 1998, Percy Harvin 2009, and now Torrey Horton for the Seattle Seahawks this year.
Dude, you return a punt as far as he did. What was that, 95 yards?
95, yeah.
95 yard punt return.
Why are you fielding that?
It's yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Anytime somebody catches a punt inside the 10-yard line, you immediately yell at your television. And then that's one you regret, because he ran it back 95 yards. They were raving about him in training camp, that he was turning heads and he might
Brady
turn out.
Brady told us about him.
Yes, he might turn into a rotational wide receiver, and if he's making that impact, I remember watching him at Colorado State, like, he's been a good player for a long time.
I know you were really drunk at the start of that game and you sobered up throughout. Was that the best play you saw Sunday at the game?
His catch was pretty good, his touchdown catch, because it was a fade to the back corner.
Him becoming a number two for them would be so vital, because we know JSN is a one. You get a number two, and then if their tight ends can continue to grow and develop.
The block punt was pretty good, too.
Yeah, that was great.
That'll always get the crowd fired up.
I mean, I love a blocked punt,
Nothing better than a blocked kick.
Punt returns in person, too, are different, because you can kind of see it.
Like, you can see it.
You're like, oh. Like, you can tell. If you're watching on TV, you can't really tell that there's a lane there. And the announcer will get excited, but you can't see it the same on TV.
We'll get to one more, because we interrupted a lot of this segment with more Ravens talk. How about this one? Speaking of punts, the Colts have punted just once 3 games in. It's the fewest since 1940. Shane Steichen was quoted after the post game saying, "Yeah, that pissed me off."
That's a great quote.
The Colts are good.
The Colts are good.
And you know what?
We all have egg on our face.
Oh, everybody. Most.
They go to L.A. this weekend.
Yo, they're going to get humbled at some point. They'll lose.
Somebody will get them. If they beat the Rams on the road in L.A. this weekend. Because the only thing you would say, like, the Bronco win was a quality win. Their other 2 wins came against 2 of the worst teams in the NFL, in Miami and Tennessee. The Broncos will probably be a playoff team, or a borderline competitive playoff team the rest of the year. This is the one that would, I think, wake more people up. If they go on the road and win in L.A. By the way, if they win that one, you know who their next 2 games are against? The Raiders at home and the Cardinals are at home. So if they beat the Rams this weekend...
Dude, if they're 6-0...
You are staring at a potential 6-0 start for the Indianapolis Colts.
Last time they started 3-0, 2009. They got to the Super Bowl.
What if Daniel Jones goes to a Super Bowl? Wins the AFC this year. We're here yelling about Lamar not winning big games, and here comes Daniel Jones riding into town in the playoffs.
It's more improbable than Rex Grossman taking the Bears to the Super Bowl, isn't it?
Oh, I would argue it's the most improbable Super Bowl journey since Kurt Warner.
Yes.
Because we didn't know Kurt Warner existed.
No.
We at least had seen Daniel Jones win a playoff game. It would be the most improbable Super Bowl thing since Kurt Warner.
This one would be pretty high up there on the, like, the Baker stuff turning his career around didn't surprise me a ton. Like, he had flashes early. This one would be near the top. This one would be similar to me to Alex Smith. Like, Alex Smith, for me, was dead and done. He got benched for Troy Smith. He was so bad in San Francisco.
Yep.
And then Jim Harbaugh came to town, and all of a sudden things turned around for him. I never saw that. This one would be right there, like 1A, 1B of would have never guessed it in a million years.
I got way more NFL factoids, so we'll get to that coming up next. NFL Factoid Tuesday on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 6:49 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. NFL Factoid Tuesday's rolling along. We got the Dirty Poll coming up. I got Landing and Bray audio, so let's stop farting around here and get to it. Shut up.
God, stop talking.
The Broncos offense, this one from Sheil Kapadia, former friend of the show. The Broncos offense had 9 total first downs against the Chargers, the second fewest by any team in a game this season.
Only 9 first downs all game?
Through 3 weeks, they ranked 31st in offensive success rate ahead of only the Houston Texans. Their defense looked good last week, and it didn't look good against the Colts. That offense, it's a little concerning.
They're hitting big plays at moments when they need to. That fourth down touchdown call comes to mind, but only having 9 first downs throughout the course of an NFL game is alarming.
A lot of punts starting that game off,
That's about the same number of first downs that Oregon State had in the Civil War this weekend.
We don't need to bring that up.
I'm just saying that gives you a point of reference to
Penn State week.
Offensive
NFL factoid.
I'm just giving you a context and a point of reference.
You didn't give me an NFL context.
I'm giving you a comparison.
Judge's rule, invalid. This one via the Lions PR last night. Detroit had 7 sacks, which is the most the Ravens have ever given up in a single night.
That's a pretty remarkable stat, man. Especially for a guy who is the most athletic quarterback we've ever seen play the position. He's not an easy guy to sack. I don't know if you know that.
He is not. How about this one for their offense? They had 10 possessions that led to 5 touchdowns and a field goal. 2 of those touchdown drives were 95-plus yard drives.
Those were incredibly impressive to go the length of the field multiple times. The first one early on and the one in the second half.
Since 2017, the Jets' record is 41-94. Over that same period, the Giants are 40-94-1. Those are the 2 worst records in the NFL via Mike Lupica. The Panthers have been better than the Giants and the Jets.
Well, it makes it hurt even more, too.
They've been equally as crappy as each other.
Nothing to enjoy in New York football. At least the Giants got a couple of rings that they can lean on in somewhat recent memory.
Not since 2017.
I know. It also makes it sting more, too, when you see former quarterbacks go on to do good things. Like, Darnold saw ghosts, and then he goes to Minnesota and has a great year. And week one was rough, but he's played better the last 2 weeks, so we'll see what he turns into. And right now, the story in the NFL has been the Colts and Danny Dimes.
Tough. To the junk.
Yep.
Vikings DB Isaiah Rodgers earned a perfect PFF grade. It's the highest they've ever given out. Against the Bengals, he had a pick 6, 2 forced fumbles, a scoop and score, 1 forced interception. It's the greatest defensive back performance of all time.
And maybe the best defensive performance that we've ever seen. And I'd like to thank the nerds for not ruining it with some like caveat. Well, on second down in the second quarter, he got beat across the face on a slant route, so we can't give him a perfect grade.
Very quickly, more incredible performance to you guys than Derek Thomas's, what did he have, 7 sacks in a game? Was it 5 sacks in a game? In the 90s? See.
Is that still the record for most sacks in a game?
I believe he still holds that. Yeah. In a single
game.
Wasn't
it against the Seahawks?
I couldn't recall the opponent either. It was like 1990.
7 sacks in 1990, and yes, it was against the Seattle Seahawks.
What year was it?
1990. November 11th, 1990.
Which one's more impressive? Because multiple touchdowns, plus like multiple fumbles.
Seven sacks is crazy. For an individual.
That's nuts, right?
Can you give me a frame of reference for the 1990s Seattle Seahawks offensive line?
I'll give you a 2024 frame of reference.
Yes.
Oregon State only had seven sacks in their entire season.
See, now I got it. Now I could connect the dots here. That's pretty impressive.
Judge's rule, that one upheld.
That one's allowable?
Yeah.
I mean, 1A, 1B.
Okay.
I'll give the advantage to the player in the secondary for all the different things. It wasn't just one statistical category.
Yeah.
It's fourth fumbles, interceptions, touchdowns. Yeah. It was having your hand in everything.
Ricky Pearsall had 8 catches for 117 Sunday. All of his catches had a defender within 3 yards.
He's off to a really good start this year, and the Niners, great luck continues with Bosa's season-ending ACL injury.
Yeah.
3-0 and just... No hope.
Every week, no. Another player.
Has there ever been a more hopeless 3-0 team in the history of the NFL?
Well, they're going to be 4-0 because they're going to beat the Jags.
They probably will beat the Jags
because
the Jags are not very good.
To your point.
I don't know if it matters how many games they win in the regular season. Like, the reason people like the Niners to go to the playoffs, myself included, was because their schedule was ass this year.
Yeah.
And so far, that has been borne out of they haven't played anybody. I mean, the Seahawks win was nice.
Here's what I'll just say. I told this to Nemec. Just make the playoffs. That's all I care about. You're not a Super Bowl contender. I know that.
With all these injuries, you have no chance.
Let's get some rapid fire via Next Gen Stats. Justin Herbert was pressured on 54.7% of his dropbacks Sunday. It's the most ever in his career. He was 10 for 23, 143 yards. The game-tying touchdown and interception was sacked 5 times against that Bronco front.
And the interception wasn't really his fault. It happened in the first half. It was a deflected pass that went up and somebody picked off.
Had somebody in my fantasy league on our chat suggest that the slate kind of sucked this weekend. According to ESPN, there were 7 games featuring a game-winning score in the final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. It's the most in a single day since the 1970 merger. There were 9 non-offensive touchdown scores.
It was insane. All the block kicks at the end of the first witching hour. You want to tell me like an afternoon slate sucks? There's only 3 games and one of them turns into a blowout. That turns into a dud. I'm okay with it. The NFL slate as a whole never sucks.
The Dallas Cowboys are 31st in yards allowed, 30th in touchdowns allowed, and just lost CeeDee Lamb for 3 to 4 weeks.
Who's worse than them?
It's a great question. I have to go back and pull that stat up, but I pulled up those stats specifically because they are so worse.
Maybe the Saints?
Well, here's one for a conversation.
Tennessee, maybe? Tennessee's been torched back-to-back weeks.
The Ravens are now tied with the Dolphins for the most points allowed in the NFL.
Yeah, we're looking for what's wrong with them. Their defense is supposed to be good. They got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball, and they can't stop a nosebleed right now.
Just because most people crap on him, I got 2 more stats for you. Caleb Williams, off his 4-touchdown performance, now has 7 touchdowns. I believe that puts him tied for second in the NFL. His 4-touchdown Sunday came 10-plus yards down the field.
Yeah, they were pushing it down the field against that terrible Cowboy defense.
And final one, 615 yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks, 3 game winning drives, and a 3-0 record. Baker Mayfield, welcome to the MVP conversation.
Top 5 quarterback.
Since 2023, of these quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Baker has the most passing yards, the most passing touchdowns, the 2nd highest completion percentage, and the 3rd highest quarterback rating.
And they're decimated with injuries right now on the offensive side of the ball, and it does not matter. He keeps finding ways to win games.
There you go. NFL Factoid Tuesday.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
A lot of effort goes into this.
Wonderful.
Factoids.
It does. A lot of work.
A lot of work.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.